The Mooney Show on RTE Radio 1. Text now to 51551 or email mooney@rte.ie.
Oh, I'm sure there are people throwing things at the radio now. To some, the sound of my voice on the radio for the next 4 weeks with my colleague Blondie Coffee will be music to your ears. To others, it'll be like a bad bout of tinnitus. Very hard to get rid of, if not impossible. And trust me, I know all about tinnitus, having suffered with it for the last 18 years, in case the sufferers of tinnitus get on the phone saying, who does he think he is complaining about it, making a joke of tinnitus and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, it's great to be here with you for the next 4 weeks. We'll be filling in, but we'll be doing business as usual. Mm-hmm. Blondie Coffee is with me. How did you end up being here?
Well, darling, I am here to rein you in.
Oh, management have
sent
you.
Yeah, management
have sent me. I thought they had already reined me in.
No, I'm here to rein you in, to keep manners out. Look at me as a bit of butter on a slice of toast, your slice of toast in the morning.
Oh, dear.
I know. Come here, Leo Varadkar, isn't it fantastic?
Yeah, it is fantastic. What?
But he's partaking in Gay Pride in Northern Ireland. He's going to be seen up there. It's all great.
Why not?
Exactly.
Get out and march.
Exactly.
But I heard him on the news talk about the PSNI and the Garda Síochána marching together today. But I remember being in Lourdes about 20 years ago. I made a documentary for RT Radio 1 and it was about the Irish Army, the Army No. 1 Band, going over to take part in the military pilgrimage which takes place there every year. And this takes place, I think it's in May, I'll stand corrected on this, text 51551. It takes place in May and the armies from all over the world come together to Lourdes, mm-hmm. and they have this great celebration of unity and peace and love and life and religion and whatever you have in yourself. And mm-hmm. they do it, kind of sound like Gay Byrne there. And hello, Gay.
He did a little
and,
bit.
And they have all this in May every year. So something like 20,000 troops come in. So there, I remember, marching from the stadium outside of Lourdes, the football stadium, was the Irish Army No. 1 Band, the Band of the Royal Marines. And I think there were some members of An Garda Síochána. I'm not sure about that one. But definitely the RUC, all marching down from the stadium down to the grotto at Lourdes, and the bands were playing and
do 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 do
listen, I must read out something. I was looking in the newspapers this morning. Oh, what have I got here? The Irish Daily Mail. I had to laugh at this one.
Here we go.
Who's on the cover of the little colour bit? Only Blonigny Coffee. And it says, I get labelled a feisty redhead. Why can't I just be allowed to argue my point? Blonigny Coffee is breaking down those tired old stereotypes and letting her talents speak for her. And then it goes on. Let me see. Blonigny Coffee jumps out of the car and skids across the road. That sounds a bit nasty. Oh, skirts. Skirts across the road. She is, as always, a bundle of energy.
That's
and
me.
Good vibes, and gives a big hug and a smile. Despite the angry clouds engulfing the South Dublin coastal village of Monkstown, she playfully poses for the camera,
okay,
ignoring the wind and now pelting rain that has arrived at the last minute of the shoot. Beautifully written. Who's written this? Wonderfully composed and very vivid. It's the kind of thing you need for radio because you have no visual distraction.
I'm blushing.
Owen Murphy, a beautiful piece. Anyway,
beautiful
go
piece.
On.
Beautiful picture. Great picture.
Don't mind the picture, Bunny.
It's all about the picture. It's only a hit if it's a good picture.
You talk about the...
Forget about the headlines.
You talk about the gender pay gap.
No, not really. I can't remember what I talked about. That was done 2 weeks ago. Derek, you're making me blush now.
There's a picture of your son, Padder.
Yeah.
So for the people who don't know, because the picture's there, and I normally wouldn't have mentioned anything like this, but there is a picture of your son, Padder.
Yes.
And he's been tackled by a Lily White.
Yes.
And he's got the ball in his left hand.
Yes.
Is he a left-hander, Padder?
I don't know.
Southpaws, they call them. What do you mean, don't know he's your son?
I can't remember. I have four children. I can't remember any little detail of every child.
Anyway, he's clearly playing Gaelic, and he's in a Dublin jersey. So, Cadhain an Scéal.
He plays minor Dublin, full-back minor Dublin. So, they have a big match on Monday. So, yeah, we're very proud. It's great. You're making me blush now. I'm really
You're
gone red.
You're making me sick. You're one of those GAA mammies is what
Excuse
you are.
Excuse me. You be very careful. I'm very proud and it's a great privilege and it's all good. So it's all good.
It's no small achievement to get on the Dublin minor team.
It is not.
You know, because I had trials for the Dublin minor team back in the day. No, I bet you didn't know that.
Are you for real?
No. I want to tell you about a little notice I saw in a garage in Middleton in County Cork the other day when I had to get some fuel and then pop into the little boy's room. And there's a little notice over the toilet that says, if you sprinkle as you tinkle, please be sweet and wipe the seat.
Yeah, but people don't wipe the seat. And men don't put the seat down when they're finished.
I don't even put it up. Yeah. But I just thought it was really nice. I'm wondering, have you got any nice slogans for us today? Have you seen any little notices? You know, any little phrases that get you through your day that make you smile, you can text 51551 or email Mooney at rte.ie.
My mom used to say, if I don't see you through the week, I'll see you through the window.
Louis Copeland said it good to the other day because I was making a little report with him. And he was saying to me, the harder you work, the luckier you get.
Okay.
You got to think about that one.
But I like this other one. I hear Anna Nolan's mother says it. She goes, there'll be wigs on the green. There'll be killings. You know, barristers taking their wigs off, throwing them on the grass with fury, being angry and furious with each other.
Yeah.
Love that.
Made up anger.
Yeah, I don't care. They're wigs on the green. I love
drama
it.
Queens are barristers. That's what they are. When they're training for that old gig, don't they have to do some acting courses as well, if I'm not mistaken? It's all a big performance in the courtroom.
It's a nicely paid performance.
Yeah, it's all a performance. What's the other one? I was at a funeral of a former colleague, and my best wishes to her family who may be listening in today. Aoife O'Callaghan, she worked in RTÉ Cork. She was very young and unfortunately passed away during the week, and her son and her husband were there. But the priest during the sermon said something very nice. He was talking about walking along the road together and talking to each other and how important it is to talk. And he talked about a slogan that was out some time ago and a little campaign sticker which said, if you're too busy, you're too busy. And I thought it was absolutely beautiful, you know, that if you're too busy to stop and talk to somebody, then actually you're too busy. Mm. And maybe you need to take yourself in check and have a think about that. And I just thought it was lovely sentiment.
Poignant,
that I heard. Anyway, we have a competition, have we not?
We do indeed. I feel like the beautiful assistant in the corner reading out the competition.
Like her.
Debbie McGee. We have a two-night family break for two adults and two children at the Rose Hotel in Tralee. It includes two nights accommodation in a superior room with full Irish breakfast each morning. There's dinner in the park restaurant on one evening of your choice, while the youngsters have fun in the supervised kids club where children's tea will be served.
What does that mean?
What do you mean?
What does that mean?
Well, while you're having your romantic dinner, they're over in the club being supervisor-minded. It's great. Little break.
So you break up the parents from the children?
I hear Derek.
Well, I don't know. No, I know that. But do you do that when you go on holiday? Many kids have you got? 17 or something? But when you go on holiday, what do you actually do with the children?
Well, they're teenagers now.
But when they were younger, what did you do?
Oh, we ate early and tried to get them to bed, and then we'd try and sneak in a glass of wine when they were asleep.
But you ate with them?
Oh, yeah, to be with them. But at the same time, it depends where you are. Some people need a little break as well.
That's a lovely idea, I have to say.
Fantastic. Someone else minding
them. You've explained it to me. Yeah.
Someone else minding them for you. The prize also includes a family pass to the Aquadome. I've been there. It is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Dates are subject to availability. Of course, to be with a chance of winning, all you have to do is answer the following question. In which year was Nelson Mandela freed from prison? In which year was Nelson Mandela freed from prison? Text your name to and answer to 51551. That's 51551. And you need to be over 18 to enter the competition.
Your Blonna left on him.
Well, actually, no, Blonna has lovely warm hands for a Saturday morning.
Where did she have them? Up your jumper.
I was up early.
Robert, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
And I'm delighted to say that you are going to be a radio star as well as a country star because you're starting your own show on RT Radio 1 this very evening.
Yeah, I am. But let me tell you something, Derek. And I have to say, I've met you many times before. Blondet, we met before. I've been in here at the studio a couple of times. But sitting in that chair is frightful.
Oh.
It can be very frightful. Because I came in, I done the late date program a couple of months ago, and it was lovely. It was brilliant. And then I met Anna Leddy.
Oh.
Yeah.
She's our boss.
I know.
But hold on, Anna. She's out in the control room, so she's throwing things at the glass. But you see, she brought me into a different area of where I didn't want to be. It's called professionalism. I don't want to be professional. I just want to have a bit of fun.
You were having fun. I love the fact that you came in there and we were a bit late with the telephone to do it. I didn't know you were going to do it. You were jiving with Blondet while the song was on. God, you love yourself and your own music. But when I said that music literally wrecks my head, I meant in a good way because the first time I heard that, she's gone, I have never forgotten it. It's one of those songs that just goes in there
and stays there.
It lodges itself and it will not come out until it needs to come out when you hear it again.
But that's the idea. My new single is Hey Ho and Away We Go. So I mean,
catchy.
It's
so catchy.
Somebody you know, is it?
You know, we're sort of. It's sort of tiring to try and find these songs that they're like these earworms you're talking about. But look, we do our best. And last night, you know, the music business, Derek, is a funny thing because I was in Oma last night on stage at. I finished up at half one. Got out of there at half two. I was in Dublin by half four, and I slept in the car park of RT1 until 9 o'clock this morning.
What?
But serious?
I have a nice car.
You get a job as management in here.
I'm looking for extra points.
Oh, God.
And a coffee.
You look well, though.
What? And we were even jiving.
I know.
Jesus, fair play to us.
I know. I'm a great jiver.
And you have four children.
I won a jiving competition back in the day.
Did you?
I know. I was 15. I did. I'm very proud of that.
Where was that?
Down in Kildare or Bolivar. Down in Meath somewhere. In Midlands, of course.
You'd have to go to Midlands to win a jiving competition.
Pure country glanage.
Yeah. I am pure country proud of it.
Yeah, but tell me, are you a fan of country music?
I am a fan of country music, but I wouldn't be like, compared to some of my neighbours at home, I'm no expert on it now. You know, they'd go, do you remember that one that was the cover of whatever? They'd have all the years and the dates and all that. I'm no expert. But what happened in the Gaeltacht and a lot of Gaeltacht areas, Irish speaking community, we translated a lot of country music. And we also wrote our own country music, Oscailge. So there's something about country music. But I have to say, there's one very famous song called Pokey Fall and Gugs Cligantine, which means
Pokey what?
Would means empty pockets and a sore head, you know, and it's a John Belgoforta wrote it 100 years ago
of
now.
Oh yeah, I know it.
Yeah, yeah. You're doing your hat. Pokey Fall and Gugs Cligantine. I think we have a little snippet of it. It's brilliant because
what does it mean?
No, we don't.
It means empty pockets and a sore head, and it's basically Madin Duni Glappin Common O Nach Brave Dol Tirish Mishishin Tishirla Bala Le Pokey Fall and Gugs Cligantine. Translated, here I am in Clapham Common. Oh, isn't it great to be drunk again, left with a hangover and no money in my pocket. It's the same old depressing lyrics.
But the Irish language, it fascinates me, because many years ago when I was doing a show for Glo Tíre, and I came up with this brilliant idea. Why don't you get some of the artists to sing some of the country songs in Irish?
Yeah.
And they agreed to it. And forevermore. I mean, I'm like, oh, and it's like reading Japanese. Because, I mean, look, the Irish language is a very intricate, wonderfully spoken language. But then you ask a guy from Louisiana to try it, and then it just goes off.
Yeah, but you have that, because you have that sort of that talent of being able to sing country, only a question of reading words and understanding the words, and given that you've got that backdrop, so you could sing in any language.
Well, yeah, what do you think?
Did you ever sing Oscailge?
I did. I sang Oscailge with Daniel O'Donnell on a show for Glo Tíre.
You didn't?
I was reading off a teleprompter. It was written out phonetically. I don't know what I said. All I know is that I sort of half knew the melody of the song.
I'm like that in English.
So I was like, yeah, blah, 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 blah. But look, it's amazing.
But what song was it?
I can't remember. I can't remember, Derek. I forgot the minute I sang it.
But tell me, at the end of the gigs each night, I mean, I'm sure there was a tradition long ago where you would stand up and you would sing Aron Naveen, the national anthem,
to send everybody.
Yeah,
we
play the national anthem, the band does. I just stand at attention, look very serious, because I can't. A lot of people have asked me, because I'm living in Ireland 26 years, hey, why don't you sing the national anthem? And I probably should, because I think it'd be a great, you know, it'd be a great thing to do at the end of a show to be able to sing it. And because we're living in an Irish speaking language country, I'd love to be able to do
that. But as Blanet said, they're only words at the end of the day. You can learn them.
But see, there's a lot of...
There is in the national anthem.
There's a lot of different...
There's a lot of hooks.
A lot of hooks and crutches.
More
Hampla.
You know, you... Hooks, shut up, Derek. Where's the hooks in that?
I'm asking you where it is.
I'll write it out phonetically for you. Do you want me to do that?
Blanage. I have an idea.
What?
Why don't you write out the lyrics to a song phonetically, and we'll see if our friend Robert Mizell could sing it.
Yeah, thank you,
Glen Campbell, because that would be one everybody knows.
What's Glen Lonesome
Cowboy? What was
Rhinestone Cowboy.
Oh, yeah, Rhinestone Cowboy. That's the one, yeah.
Oh, my God, I'll try.
Have you got it? You've actually got it.
Rhinestone
Cowboy. Okay, this is the English version now. Riding out on our horse and phonetically already for him.
I have.
Oh, you have. Well, listen, we'll come back to it later on, but we want to talk to you about the kind of magnificent, the extraordinary love, increase in affection for, massive interest in country music. I mean, it's just shot up in the last, it seems to me, in the last 5 or 6 years. Would you put it all down to Nathan Carter?
Nathan Carter is to country music what... what the Kardashians are to reality TV.
Really?
No, Nathan Carter is a lovely looking fella. He's a great talent. He's young. He's all the things I'm not. I used to be a lot younger.
We all were.
But no, Nathan, definitely what he has done is, when I came into the business first, people were telling me that the music industry was dying. and it was dead. And then, of course, 20 years down the road, Nathan comes along and he's bringing that cohort of young people. And as a matter of fact, it's good for me because I'm seeing a lot of his fans now, because when they go to see Nathan Carter for a couple of years or so, then they start thinking, oh, there must be other artists out there. So then they look around and they might see me or Jimmy Buckley or Patrick Feeney or one of the other artists. And they say, oh, we'll go and see him as well. So, I mean, it works.
But you guys have always been there.
Oh, look, I'm on the road 24 years nearly. 24 years in the music business in some sense. And I've been in Ireland 26 years. You know, I've been recording country music, you know, I mean, I think Derek Ryan and Nathan Carter in their early 20s. I think they're only kids. My daughter, I think, is older than Derek Ryan. But, you know, I appreciate those guys because we need that influx of new blood. Because the people get sick of hearing Robert Mazzella all the time. And I'm on the road 20 years. And look at Big Tom. Big Tom is in his 80s, I think he is now, and he's still flat out. He's anywhere he goes, they're standing at the front of the stage like young ones, you know. And that's what country music has always been there. And on the radio show that I'm doing starting tonight, you're gonna hear music from the 1940s, 50s, 60s, right up to today, and Irish music and American as well.
A change, though? I mean, is there such a word as popified? Because if you look at Nashville, right, the TV drama and based in Nashville and all these young artists, most young and older artists, you know, has Nathan Carter kind of changed country music? Is it being made more?
I don't think he's changed it. He just brought it into a format that teeny boppers can understand. And that's pretty much what I think. I used to come out on stage, and we were talking about this during the week about with glitzy sort of rhinestone suits and stuff like that. And one day I looked in the mirror at myself and I thought, you know, I was aging myself and I was bringing myself back. And it did, like Porter Wagoner and Dolly Parton were two guys who worked together for a long time. But I looked at Derek Ryan and Nathan Carter and Lisa McHugh and all these young people. And, you know, I actually had to ask myself, where am I going? But my music won't change. Now, the clothes I wear on stage may change slightly from time to time, but my music is still country.
So you're not wearing the rhinestones anymore?
No, not really.
But when we were in Louisiana with you making the documentary last year, were you not in the cowboy shops of us buying rhinestone shirts?
I still buy Western shirts and cowboy boots and stuff. I love all that stuff. And I still wear it, not today now. I'm in my sleep in the car gear today. But first of all, it shouldn't matter what you wear. You know,
but you've made a very valid point there. Yeah. You need to go with the times.
You have to.
If you're wearing a dress that appeals to a particular audience and says, this is what this music is about, this is the box we're in, this is how we dress, then you're completely ruining everybody else.
And musically, you have to slightly go with the times. There's a lot of songs I record that I wouldn't particularly record if I was making a CD for myself, but I know the market that I'm shooting for and I know what I have to do. So, you know, look, it's all about, even in the radio business, you have to, Derek, as you know, you cover stories because it's in front of you and you have to do it. And I sing songs that I have to sing. Some of them I like more than others. Some days I love the music industry, some days I hate it, and it's life, you know.
Yeah. All right. I think Dolly Parton is an exception to the costume, though. She stuck to the costume on the wigs, hasn't she?
Yeah, what is it? She's timeless.
Yeah, she is.
I love her.
She's an icon.
Well, George Jones once
she's
said.
A star.
Yeah,
George
she
Jones
is.
Once said, he said, there's two things I love about Dolly.
Are you going to say what?
I don't know what he meant.
I'm just
going to
go off, for God's sake.
Her singing voice and her curly hair.
But that's what I don't know what he meant, but that's
yeah,
something.
A lot of hairspray. I love Dolly. Adore her.
Oh, she's great.
Adore her. Jolene is the best song ever.
The clock is kind of catching up.
I know, sorry.
We've already got to take one of those. You can email Mooney at rte.ie or text 51551. Derek, great to have you back on Radio 1. Did you know that Gay Byrne is 83 today? Didn't know that. How are you? Ho, ho, ho.
Is he? Happy birthday, Gay.
I hope it's true. Well, if it is, happy birthday, Gay. Wish him a happy birthday. Thanks.
Aww.
It's also Louis Walsh's birthday, who's 75 today. Happy birthday to Louis Walsh.
Happy birthday, Louis. One came in here. I have a note on my bathroom door saying, remember, a minute depends on which side of the door you're standing on. I think that's good.
I like that.
Yeah. That is very good.
On a church door, saw, it's not Jesus calling. Switch off your phone.
Look at this one. What was that first attracted you to millionaire Derek Mooney? Sean from Tala.
Yeah, wasn't that the line?
Yeah.
That Paul Daniels and Debbie McGee.
McGee.
When Mrs. Merton said to her, "What was it that first attracted you to the millionaire Paul Daniels. Okay. Well, I can, one thing I can tell you, I'm certainly not a millionaire nor nothing like it.
And I don't look like Debbie McGee, even though there is a drag act called Blonde McGee. But that's neither here nor
there. Really?
There is.
Is it you, Blonde?
Well, I don't know. She's wearing a red wig. That's all I can say. And she's good.
I'm great at coming up with names for drag acts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Misrepresented.
Oh, yeah. Good. I thought Blonde McGee was good, though.
Yeah, go on. Was there a PS?
Oh, PS, sorry. I was very moved at Robert's radio documentary of his trip home.
Oh. And of course, Derek was there.
I wasn't asked.
And Derek went ziplining.
I did. Did you ever go ziplining?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Sorry, you actually make me fall.
He did. He went ziplining.
You wouldn't do that.
I did. It wasn't easy with me. Don't
you
back.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was interesting. It was a crocodile farm.
Yeah.
And this was the novelty of it. You know, there were the kind of unique selling points, seeing as we're fitting in the business lot. The unique selling point was that you went ziplining at the end of the zipline tour over crocodiles.
Is there pictures? I don't believe it.
Gummy crocodiles, Blonde.
Oh, they were well fed. They had no teeth.
I think Anna was there too. Anna, did you go on the
zipline? Anna was there. The whole gang was there. But your documentary went down a tree.
Well, you know what? I still think about it, and I get a lot of people even now come up to me and say, hey.
Just remind people what it was. You were going home. You were from...
I'm from Shreveport.
In Louisiana.
Yeah, and I went back to tell the story about my life growing up in Louisiana and the difficulties my mother had with, you know, raising us kids. And I spoke to my foster family, Mama Courtney's family. And it was a very emotional time, as you know. There was a lot of moments there where, you know, trying to keep it together. But, you know, as I said on the documentary, and I still say it, I was lucky that I had a vehicle to tell my story, because so many people have stories out there to tell, and you know, they don't get a chance to tell them. So I'm very fortunate for that point of view. But I hope to go back and do some more work out there as well.
Are you crying?
Huh?
Are there tears coming into your eyes?
Oh, no, I'm fine. Oh,
he's
no,
been
no,
up just, since.
No, I'm up since. I was in Oman last
night. Robert, it's radio performance. Okay. Cry about thinking back of the...
I do notice when you talk about your home place, though, your accent gets stronger.
Oh, it does. Yeah. When I talk about my daddy.
That was the interesting thing, because he said when we were there, when they heard him speaking, they didn't... weren't quite sure where he was from.
Yeah, people still say that, yeah. Because people...
Oh, my God.
A guy told me I sounded Nordic the other day, you know, so I said, okay, fair enough.
Oh, no, I think your accent's really strong, especially when you talk about where you're from.
It's the more I talk about
you're a married woman.
Yeah.
What's your point?
Sounds like you're flirting.
We were dancing this morning.
You were jiving. Can I just say, I forgot what I was going to say. Old age, Blonde.
Yeah. Oh, hello, speak for yourself. I know I can't just do anything now without the glass on me. I can't even read anything in front of me. Yeah. Come here, let me ask you though this question. Have you been back since you've done the documentary?
No, I haven't.
Okay, that'd be interesting.
I want to go back. Kelly Wells, one of the guys who helped us organise the trip out there, was on to me. They had a big balloon race in Shreveport last week and he wanted me to come out, but I couldn't. But Derek, you'll have to come back out with me.
Oh, I'd love to. I could highly recommend Louisiana to anybody
it is
listening.
Fabulous. And it's fabulous.
Look, it's all relative, I know, but the flights over and all that aren't that expensive return. And it was a beautiful place. Now, hot in the sense that...
How hot?
You walk
muggy.
Outside the door, it's muggy.
Muggy,
you know,
and
you're
humid.
You're sweating really quickly, but you acclimatise very quickly. I remember what I was going to say to you. You never sang when you were growing up in Louisiana.
No.
They ran you out of town. Mm-hmm. And then you go back all those years later as a country star.
Yeah. Yeah. And because a lot of people ask me, how come, you know, I haven't made it in Shreveport, but they don't know who I am. There's a few people, family and friends, who know me. But, you know, as I said, look, this country that we live in, you know, provided me with a platform to perform and to live my life. And look, everything I have is here. My whole life, my 2.5-year-old, she's going to be Irish. She's not going to be American. She's my 23-year-old. She's Irish. So,
yeah,
you know.
But still, your culture is in you. It's part of your identity.
Oh, it is. And it always will be.
Totally get that.
It always will be.
But the other thing is, I suppose it's like everything. Your little girl will know your culture and the Irish culture from being reared here.
And I'm delighted for that. And she has a passport that can go either way, which I don't have. I'm still on an American passport. They won't let me. They won't give me an Irish one, Derek.
How long have you been here?
26 years.
And why won't they give you an Irish passport?
I don't know.
Are you taking the you-know-who?
No, I swear.
Why not?
I submitted for a passport about 10 years ago, and I was point-blankly refused.
On what grounds?
I don't remember, but it was just I got a letter saying you can't have it. So I never...
Were you ever in
again.
Trouble with the police?
No. Oh,
have you got
no.
a criminal record?
No, not at all. No,
because that would have helped you.
I have a couple of parking fines.
A couple of parking fines. But honestly, you're not an Irish citizen.
No.
That's bizarre.
Yeah. But no, look, I feel Irish, you know, and my wife is Irish and... You know,
but do you not become an Irish citizen by default because you marry an Irish person?
No,
that used to
be the case.
Yeah, that's
but
gone.
Donald Trump came in and got rid of that.
I know.
We don't talk about Donald Trump today.
Donald Trump doesn't get rid of you marrying somebody.
I'm just saying, you know, the political football that is Donald Trump. You know. Oh, God.
Well, I was born in Canada, but I have an Irish. I could get Canadian citizenship, but I never applied for Canadian citizenship.
No.
No, I just have Irish Canadian. Yeah.
Guys, I have questions for you both, which I don't particularly want you to answer now, but do you remember where you were in 1990 and what you were doing? Yes or no?
Yes or no?
Yes. You do. Blonda, do you
remember?
Yes,
I do.
Yes, you do. Listener, do you remember what you were doing in 1990?
You're listening to Radio Éireann. It's time for Reeling in the Years on radio.
And it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Ah, yes. The year we're celebrating today is 1990. 27 years ago in August, Ireland was hot, hot, hot. In fact, the 2nd of August turned out to be the hottest day of the year. And as this remake of the 60s classic by Bomb Ballerina scorched up the charts, more than our temperatures were rising as the boys in green took us with them on their big adventure to Italia 90. On the 25th of June, Ireland took on Romania, culminating in that unforgettable, nail-biting penalty shootout.
This kick can decide it all. The nation holds its breath. Yes, we're there!
Give it a last jet, give it a last jet. Never, never, never say no. Ireland, Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, rev it up and here we go.
And we celebrated as Big Jack's team took us into the World Cup quarterfinals.
We'll prepare and we'll go and we'll do our best. We'll put them under pressure.
But a 1-0 defeat by the home team abruptly ended the Italia 90 dream.
And got punished for one mistake. Never really got a break in the game. But that's the way games go.
By July 1st, the lads were on the plane home. West Germany went on to win the World Cup after only weeks previously undergoing the historic reunification with the East after 45 years of separation. It was the year when Belfast man Brian Keenan was released by his kidnappers in Beirut after 1,574 days in captivity. And in South Africa, after 27 years in prison on charges of conspiring to overthrow the state, Nelson Mandela walked to freedom.
Free, free, free Nelson Mandela!
Thank you very much to you all. Thank you that you chose to care.
In June that year, Mandela addressed a joint session of both houses of the Oireachtas. Jim Sheridan's movie of John B. Keane's The Field, starring Richard Harris as the Bull McCabe, was released.
It's my field. It's my child. I nursed it. I nourished it. I saw it to its every want. I dug the rocks out of it with my bare hands and I made a living thing of it.
Roddy Doyle's The Snapper was published, as were Dancing at Lunasa by Brian Friel and John McGahern's Amongst Women. And Pretty Woman, one of the highest grossing movies of 1990, hit the silver screen.
Pretty woman, walking down the street. Pretty woman, the kind I like to meet. Pretty woman.
It sold the most tickets ever for a romantic comedy starring Julia Roberts as a hooker and Richard Gere as a rich corporate raider.
You and I are such similar creatures, Vivian. We both screw people for money.
Damn, 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 damn. I've grown accustomed to her face. She almost makes the day begin.
Pretty Woman was well received critically, with Owen Gleiberman of Entertainment Weekly describing it as a neo-Pygmalion comedy.
Her town's a second nature to me now.
The musical My Fair Lady was based on George Bernard Shaw's classic play, and its star Rex Harrison passed away in 1990, as did singer Sammy Davis Jr. and Sarah Vaughan. Iconic actors of the black and white movie era who took their final bow in 1990 included Barbara Stanwyck, Ava Gardner, and Greta Garbo.
I want to be alone. I just want to be alone.
The Swedish actor invested well during her lifetime and left about 48 million euro in her will. And in the same year, baby Emma Watson, who would go on to play Hermione Granger in the Harry Potter films, was born. At the tender age of 27, Ms. Watson is currently worth about 60 million euro. Now that's what I call magic.
I'm going to bed before either of you come up with another clever idea to get us killed, or worse, expelled.
Janet Catterall became the first woman in Ireland to be ordained as a priest in the Church of Ireland, and Mary Robinson was inaugurated as the first female president of Ireland. A few days after the first woman to become Prime Minister of Britain had been unceremoniously toppled from power after 11 years as the Iron Lady.
I have only one thing to say. You turn if you want to. The ladies not for turning.
Also in 1990, 81 people died in the Northern Ireland Troubles. Saddam Hussein ordered the invasion of neighbouring Kuwait, beginning the Gulf War. Lech Walesa became president of Poland, and the USSR announced that it was to withdraw from Czechoslovakia. And what do you suppose Donald Trump was up to in 1990?
People say something false, I attack those people. Because the news gets away with murder, the news media, they get away with murder.
So, no change there then. The first series of The Simpsons ran during the early part of 1990 and would go on to become the longest-running American sitcom and the longest-running American animated program of all time. 16 years ago, in the Bar to the Future episode, The Simpsons actually predicted the Trump presidency.
As you know, we've inherited quite a budget crunch from President Trump. How bad is it, Secretary Van Houten?
We're broke.
The singer Prince rejected a part in The Simpsons, written specially for him, and he was none too pleased with Sinead O'Connor when she had a massive worldwide hit with his song, Nothing Compares to You.
He summoned me to his house and he told me he didn't like me saying bad words in my interviews.
It's been 7 hours and 15 days.
So I told him to f*** off.
She took your love away.
Good on you, Sinead. An Irish answer to an Irish problem, if ever I heard it. This multi-award-winning record would end 1990 as number 3 in the US Billboard magazine's Top 100 Songs, and it would go on to be listed in Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs of All Time. So, we'll leave the last word now to Sinead O'Connor.
90, we'll be reeling in the rears, reeling in the rears, reeling in the ears on radio for the next 4 weeks right here on RT Radio 1 on Saturday mornings with myself and Blondie Coffee from 10 a.m. to 11, just enough to wreck your day. Blondie, do you remember 1990?
That song is so emotional, it just makes me teary. Oh. I know. Oh. Yes, I do remember 1990. I was only in the side door, back door, front entrance of RT, and I remember being in the city centre when the Irish team came home, and then up at the Mansion House, Nelson Mandela was appearing as well. And I was covering the two stories for Radio na Gaeltachta at the time, and I had to run down to Trinity, and I couldn't see the team, of course, because it was packed. And I got up on the railings at Trinity College, and this lovely man held my leg so I didn't fall into the crowd. And yeah, I remember I was as if it was yesterday. It was an amazing
thing. Did you actually
get
to meet Nelson Mandela?
No. I remember being outside the Mansion House and people roaring, "Ooh, ah, it's Paul McGrath's da." And I had for, it was last night I was talking to Kirill about it, and I was saying, did that happen or did I imagine it? And they're going, "Ooh, ah, Paul McGrath's da."
Oh,
I remember that so clearly.
Is that just so Dublin or what?
I know, but I love it. I love that. And I just loved that I saw him. Of course, I didn't get to interview him or talk to him. It was packed. It was packed. Like, it was incredible. But it was so emotional because when I heard the song
emotional.
Free Nelson Mandela, I remember watching The Tube on Channel 4. I remember the song so clearly. I remember it was like you weren't allowed to say it publicly. You know, there was such, I'm not saying there was such censorship, but when these musicians start saying, come on, let's do something about Nelson Mandela, and then years later, you know, he met the Spice
let's
Girls.
Let's not forget the Dunn Stores workers.
Of course.
They played their part over oranges or something
absolutely.
Like that.
Yeah, I remember that too. Yeah.
Where were you, Robert?
Well, I can tell you, 1990 was a very life-altering year for me because I was standing on the tarmac in Fort Meade, Maryland. I was in an army uniform. I was only 18 or 19. I think I might have been just barely 19. And I was heading to the first Gulf War. My Army Reserve unit was to go out, and I was going out with a girl from Kildare at the time, who later became my wife and the mother of my eldest girl. And that same year, just at the end of that year, is when I came to Ireland in the early days of 1991. So it was a weird time. I mean, there was probably 25,000 troops sitting in Fort Meade, Maryland, waiting to go out. And we were training night and day, getting ready to go. And my unit was called back at the last minute. I was called back from it. But, I mean, scary time.
So you didn't go?
I didn't go. And
you were relieved you didn't
go.
No,
Derek.
You wanted to go.
To this day.
What do you think you were doing?
To this day, I regret that I didn't get to go.
Why?
Because, you see, I don't know. I know maybe there's some Irish soldiers who are listening to this program this morning would know what I'm talking about. But the one thing that you want to do as an American citizen when you join the Army, the one thing you want to do is serve. And I remember there was a Drill Sergeant Gentry was a guy who trained us in boot camp down in Alabama. And one morning he came out and we were all in formation, and he started crying. The tears were running down his face. And what's wrong? We thought his mother or his father had passed away. He said, I finally got my papers to go to Panama. He was going off to the Panama War. And he was so emotional about it. He said, this is what I've been living for all my life. I've trained for this, and this is what I want. So, and when you hear about soldiers who've died out there and all the different Iraqi wars and all that, you know, you sort of think to yourself, if I had been there, I could then feel that in some way I took part. In some way.
They're not the only ones who died. Civilians died.
Oh, I know that. I know that.
That's the problem with war. Innocent people and children and women and lives are destroyed.
And this is it. And look, war is not glamorous. It's not, too many people see it on TV. There's guys coming back with limbs missing, and there's, you know, mothers are losing sons and fathers are losing sons. And I understand all of that. But what I'm saying is from an American, I mean, I wanted to be a police officer all my life, but my gateway into that was going through the Army. And you know, when you're training, I mean, you're trained. You're not a trained killer, but you're trained to fight, and that's what you want to do.
Do you think you could kill someone though?
If I had to protect my country or my family, yes, I could.
I don't think I could.
I could.
I don't know. It's a funny one. I think the training and the drilling is also my personal interpretation, a little bit of brainwashing as well, in the sense that
of course they
pull up on your patriotism to make you feel that this is what you want to do,
absolutely.
This is what you're born to do. Mm-hmm. But in actual fact, was it really your war?
Yeah.
Was it really your war? And I remember being really young, and I just started in here in RTÉ at the time, and watching the coverage in the middle of the night
because
the time difference. Yeah. And the civilians, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm not American.
Well,
so maybe I just don't get it.
For a moment, just imagine with what you're saying, Derek, and you know, you imagine a 19-year-old young fella who just doesn't know anything about life, just fresh out of school, and you're standing there with an M16 strapped across your chest, and you have a 45 caliber pistol on your hip, and you're going off to a place you've never been before, and to maybe fight for your life.
No, but it's wrong.
I accept your bona fides by saying you wanted to go and serve, and your gateway into becoming a police officer was to go through the military. Mm-hmm. But I was on an aircraft carrier, I think it was 1992, it was the USS Theodore Roosevelt, and they were enforcing a no-fly zone, the Americans, over Bosnia and Herzegovina. And I was talking to some guys, young guys, who said it was, I won't mention the fast food chain, but the option was a job in the military.
Absolutely.
So it was nothing to do. It had to do with serving, all right, but a different type of serving, and it had nothing really to do with patriotism.
A lot of judges would give you an option to guys who are going through this court system. Either you don't buck up, or you have two choices here: go to the military or go to jail.
Blonde, the competition.
Oh yes, sorry.
And this is your last chance.
Okay. Two night family break for two adults and two children at the Rose Hotel in Tralee. It includes two nights accommodation in a superior room with full Irish breakfast each morning. There's dinner in the park restaurant on one evening of your choice, and the youngsters are having fun in Supervised Kids Club, where children's tea will be served. The prizes also include a family pass to the Aquadome. Dates are subject to availability. To be in with a chance of winning, all you have to do is answer the following question: in which year was Nelson Mandela freed from prison? Text your name and your answer to 51551. That's 51551, and you need to be over 18 to enter.
And we'll announce the winner before the end of the show.
The Mooney Show on RTÉ Radio 1.
The Masked
RTÉ Mooney.
Welcome back. Some reaction. Derek, this is one for you. Absolutely delighted to hear your voice, Derek. I'm working in the garden, listening to the radio on my headphones. Welcome back. You've been missed. And that's Jane in Galway.
Thank you, Jane. This one says, we got married in June 1990 on the day Ireland was kicked out of the World Cup. We had to break proceedings to allow the guests watch the match. The band got so drunk they couldn't stand up, says John in Limerick. I was in the Labour ward while my husband was in waiting room on the 30th of June 1990. Had our first child, says Liam. I thought that was the same message. It's just every message.
Another one here. Courtesy is contagious. Let's start an epidemic.
Yeah, very like that good, very morning, good, guys. My favourite relationship advice. If there's any doubt, there's no doubt. Linda in Glasnevin.
Love this. We all love Robert Mazzell here in Loughlin. Sorry, in County Roscommon. We're looking forward to seeing him on stage at the Loughlin Music Festival next Sunday.
Next Sunday, we're going to be there. Loughlin's a great little village. There's beautiful people down there. They love dancing and they love country music.
Just before that, what time's your show on tonight on RT Radio 1?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock, 10 p.m. tonight. Now for a story that wouldn't be out of place on a country record. The tale of a Russian singer who married a Westmeath bachelor. I didn't realise there were any left. And embarked on a career as a country music artist. Larissa Tormey, you are very, very welcome into the show. Thanks for coming in. Westmeath to Moscow.
That's right.
What a cultural change. Big difference.
Well, I must say it's not such a big difference, because the biggest probably things I find out here when I moved to Ireland that we're all very similar. There isn't a very little difference between us. I mean, maybe a little bit like different food customs, but different language. That's all. But all the same emotions. We're all falling in love. We all hate to be hurt and stuff like that. It's all very same.
Speaking of falling in love, you said somewhere that you knew immediately when you met your husband-to-be that you're going to marry him.
Well, yeah, nearly.
How was that?
Next day, anyway.
And why was that? Why was that so clear to you?
Well, I am kind of intuitive person, as probably most artistic people are anyway. Mm-hmm. So when I write my own music and I connect, I think when you're writing music, you're not writing it yourself. It comes to you from somewhere. So when you're in love, really in love, I think you know. If you listen to your inner self, you will know, definitely. So I knew.
Brilliant. And did you speak much English when you met him?
No, I only knew two phrases.
What were they?
My name is Larissa and I love you.
They're the most important in any this, culture.
This is the most important necessary minimum you need to marry Irish farmer.
So new love, new life, a new country. And no regrets. I mean, I know you're here a long time now, but your husband already had a family and then you had your daughter. So
yes.
Bringing the two families together, was that easy with different languages and cultures?
It was easy enough for me, because I think I have this personality. You see, when somebody moves into other country, I probably Robert will agree with me too in here. You have to have this approach that you're in love with this country. Mm. You can't really live in other country thinking, sometimes I'm going to leave and maybe I'm going to come back.
You have to embrace it, yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
So you got to commit.
You got to fall in love with this country, with these people, and just tell yourself, I'm going to stay here. Do you love it or not? This Russian girl going to be here and sing country for the rest of my days.
So not only, but then the country music, was that an easy did that transfer naturally from your own cultural singing, folk singing?
No, we don't have anything like similar to country music in Russia at all, no. So what happened, but because I was so long here, you know, 16 years, and I was continuing to do my music. I was singing contemporary and classical music. But then when I started to get following on Facebook, I realized that my listeners are into country music, you see. And I kind of picked this up. And because I live in a country on the farm, I mix with country people, I said, oh my God, I think it's actually resonates with me.
So you saw a market for it?
Not really. All that fame, all the popularity of country music came after. I probably sensed it before. I don't know what happened. But it's not a market. I don't really go with the market thing. I go with the inner feeling, with what I love to do, what makes me happy.
The kind of music you like.
That's it. And I felt that country music, it was discovery for me. It has so much to tell. Big story in every song. Big melody. melody, something to express, you know. So it's really, really, I think, suitable for
and
me.
And do women, because I know when I was growing up, there were a lot of women doing good singing country. You know, there were, it was very, very popular. Is there still a lot of women singing country?
Not that many.
Well, look, there's a couple. I mean, it's more difficult for a woman in the country music industry for some reason. I don't know.
It's more difficult for women generally, apparently.
Well, it is.
Sorry,
it is,
just to clarify, yeah. There's no
stand
apparently.
Stand up from an Anna Heron. Yeah.
There's no apparent, Derek.
An Anna Russia.
But I mean, I started with myself and Lisa McHugh when she was starting off in the business. I gave her one of the starts on the show, Claude Shearer, and she's went on to do great things. You probably know about Lisa McHugh.
Yes,
and
of course.
Cleona Hagen's another young lady who started off doing well. And there's the Alana Maher, Alana Quinn, and a couple of other girls I know.
But were there more women, Robert, when I was a teenager?
I don't know. Philomena Begley. Yeah. Think back to Philomena Begley, Susan McCann. Louise Morrissey. But I mean, you have to really think about the female artist because there's so many more men. But in the country music industry in general, in this country anyway, it's predominantly male, you know.
But it's just hard life, you see, because you have to travel, you have to be on the road all the time. For a woman, it's difficult.
And see, women stop to have babies. They have children.
It's difficult. You know, it's not possible.
It's difficult. It's a difficult life for a woman on the road.
Don't have the babies.
Have the babies, have them growing up and
bring
do
the babies
after,
with you.
Do it after.
Yeah. Make them part of the act.
A lot of families do that,
the white family.
Look at Crystal.
Paddy O'Gorman used to bring his dog in here. Don't know if he still does, but you can bring your family to work.
I have a cat,
work.
Actually. Have you got a cat? Yeah, blue eyes.
Does your daughter sing? Is she involved in any way?
No, my daughter is a very, very mathematical, very logical person. She's big into computers, works in Google. But she loves music, but she wouldn't be as artistic. No, very different than me.
It's funny because country music. It's funny, somebody from Russia, somebody from America, living here, and actually, you know, doing well with country music.
You're taking the country over.
You're taking the country over. Does it help fit in?
Well, for me, I mean, I lived in the country long before I got involved in the music industry, and sort of, I was going back to think about what you said about you have to love the country you lived. Well, I can tell you, maybe slightly different to your story, Larissa, that when I first came to Ireland, I didn't like it at all. It took me a year or more. I wanted to go home. And not because of the people,
because it's so different,
I went in to do a bit of building, and I went in to buy a 2x4, and they called it a 4x2, and how are you getting on, and what's the crack, and I just didn't know where I was going or who I was talking to, and I just I freaked out. But then, once I got it, I got it.
Yeah, but isn't it interesting for Larissa, who spoke a different language, because...
It must have been harder for you.
It must have been harder.
It was probably hard first year, because I had to learn so much. You see, I have to learn language from the basics. I have to learn to drive, lots of different things. But I actually liked it. It was a challenge. I like challenges. You know, to do something new, to learn something new. You're developing yourself when you change.
I think
changing.
You're turning me. You've got a very sexy voice.
and here I am shy of my accent, thinking my accent is so difficult.
This is the quietest Derek has been all morning. So
must
be doing something to it.
I'm beside myself. I'm just thinking I'd like to hear you two doing a cover of Kenny and Dolly's Islands in the Stream.
Well, you never know.
Maybe we do it sometimes.
Because we're living in the same county. We're actually neighbours with Jess.
Have you met before? Do you know each other?
No, I spotted Larissa's CD on the counter in the Centra shop on the M6 service station in Kilbeggan, because that's where I always do my shopping.
Somebody's producing CDs?
And Larissa, her CD was there, so that's the first time I saw you. But I have heard you on the radio and on Midlands 103.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
I have heard you on the radio.
God Loves a Trier.
God Loves
the name
a Trier.
Of your CD.
That's the name of my CD. Yeah.
That's a real Irish phrase.
Because it's
isn't
about
it?
Me, Derek. Yeah. I'm a Trier, real.
We
real
all
trier.
Are.
Like,
I'm
but
a
you know, for somebody from Russia try to sing country, Irish country, I mean, in fairness, that's a.
Oh, listen, Anna knows all about music.
Oh, she
loves country music. We must be able to get, not today, obviously, but for next week, before the series is over, the two of you doing Islands in the Stream.
Well, let's
even
do
if
that.
You don't release it kind of
let's
commercially.
We can do it. We can do it, no problem.
Because I think that would be a bit of fun, wouldn't it?
I think so.
But if we do that, I have to be Kenny. You get to be Dolly.
Well.
Don't start again.
And we got a winner. Blondin, I have to do the competition. Will you remind people what the prize is?
Yes, the prize is... Hold on now. The prize is a hotel break in the Rose Hotel in Tralee. Two nights accommodation, superior room, full Irish breakfast each morning. And of course, as we did say, and very, very important to mention, dates are subject to availability. Prize also includes family pass to the Aquadome. There's dinner in Park Restaurant. And the only question we asked, of course, was...
Yep.
In which year was Nelson Mandela freed from prison?
In which year? And the answer is... Can you do a drum roll, Robert?
1990.
And the winner is Katrina McMahon, Milltown, Mounbey, County Clare.
Hooray! Congratulations.
And Katrina, apparently, bizarrely, because it was randomly selected from all of the correct answers, needless to say, was winner, the caller number 666. She was the 666th caller who entered the competition. That's pretty much all we have time for today on our very first programme. Did you enjoy yourself, Blondie?
I enjoyed myself tremendously, Derek.
I hope the listener enjoyed himself and herself at the same time.
On all of them.
Possibly even together. Robert, thank you for coming in.
I had a ball, thank you.
Good luck with your show starting on Radio 1 tonight at 10 p.m.
Please join us.
And we know you have a lovely competition there running over the next few weeks to win a trip to Tennessee.
Yes.
So people interested in country music want to go to Tennessee. Larissa.
Thank you so much for
meet you.
Me.
I have to say, lovely to meet you. And we put your CD on the website and all that kind of
stuff.
Thank you. And we'll even give one away to our listeners. And it's called God Loves a Trier. And it's in all good retailers now. And we'll get you on to do that little bit with Robert.
Thanks to the team
today. Our producer is Anna Leddy. Our broadcast coordinator today was Bronan Equillen. On sound, we had Sheila Neveal. And you can email Mooney at rte.ie. Visit the website rte.ie/move. Do it all again next week at the same time. Till then, bye!
The Mooney Show on RTE Radio 1.